Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
I feel like we need to begin this episode by talking about what we did last night, which was we went to...
We ate too many quesadillas and then danced.
Well, we ate too many quesadillas. You made quesadillas.
Yeah.
And then we went dancing.
Right.
But we went dancing at this place that has various dancing themed nights.
Yeah.
Over in Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Yeah.
This was the Gimme Gimme Disco.
Yes.
Inspired by the music of ABBA.
Inspired by the music of ABBA, which we are both fans of.
Oh, the biggest.
That's right.
I mean, Gimme 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 all of the ABBA.
That's right.
Right? So, well, I mean, we found this disco party on the way to Shenandoah when we were driving.
Yeah.
I was like, there's going to be a 70s disco dance party inspired by ABBA music.
Oh, and we bought
and you were like,
right,
getting tickets right now. There's no question.
I just, like, the car stopped on the highway.
And it was like, you buy the tickets now.
Yeah, buy the tickets.
So that happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
And that was super fun.
It was very fun. It was, so this place that we have gone to in the past, they do a lot of like themed night dancing. The first one that they did like 3 years ago when they opened was a Y2K dance party. Mm-hmm. And it was a blast.
Oh, it was such a blast.
But when we walked in, it was literally like we got there right at the start because we were very excited. And I think we stayed the whole night. But when we walked in, the dance floor was literally like us and six lesbians dancing.
That's right.
Which is also the title of our shared memoir.
Our shared memoir.
Yeah.
That's right. Asbury Park is quite gay.
Yes.
And there are many, many members of the gay community that live in Asbury Park.
Yeah.
Men and women abound.
Yes.
There are.
Mm-hmm. And everyone in between.
And everyone in between.
Right.
So when we were driving there last night, I was like, I wonder what the crowd is going to be like when we get there. And when we arrived, it was mostly gay women, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I mean, I don't really get to go to many bars that are mostly patronized by gay women.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a blast.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It was so much fun. I mean, okay, so other than just ABBA...
He dipped into the 80s a little bit.
Well, I mean, there was Bee Gees.
Yeah.
He played some Bee Gees. Yeah. He also played some...
Donna Summer. Yeah.
He went into some Cyndi Lauper.
Mm-hmm.
He did It's Raining Men.
Uh-huh. In which the entire room exploded, which
right.
I thought was interesting.
I almost, like... I was like, he'll probably do like one ABBA song and then two non-ABBA songs and then do another ABBA song. So
right.
he doesn't burn through the whole canon by, you know, the end of the first hour. I think I pretty much like nailed like the order of ABBA songs.
You're
that
just
he was
a soothsayer.
Gonna, I'm such a soothsayer. I was like, he'll start with Gimme, Gimme, Gimme because that's the name of the disco. I was like, he'll probably follow it up with Super Trooper and then Voulez-Vous. And then... I was like, then we'll be like an hour and a half in, and then he'll need to like rev things up with Dancing Queen.
Oh, yeah.
You which
just,
he did.
Like, had the
oh, and Take a Chance on Me.
Yeah.
He did all
you
that.
You can change your mind. I'm the first
No,
nope,
we don't
life.
Have the rights to that. Right. No, thank you. Nope.
The highlight being also that there's a very like handsome, beefy security guard that works there.
And he was living
and
his
he was
life.
Living for
he was feeling
all of
the
this.
Fantasy of this Gimme Gimme Disco.
He was on stage, he was dancing, and usually he's very like, you know, professional. but he let his hair down last night.
Yes, he did. He even like had a moment where he got two American flags and like did, he had a moment with the flags.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I'm just going to, you know, twirl these like batons.
And God bless this mess.
And God bless that mess and America.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun, there's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national parks.
Follow your fire there.
At the national parks.
Follow your fire there.
At the national parks.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
Hello and welcome to Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast.
Gaze at the National Parks is a podcast that explores America's national parks by their trail.
We bring you one hiking trail in one national park, one park at a time. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Mike. We have just ended a month of exploration in Haleakala National Park, which is on the island of Maui in Hawaii.
And you could say 2 months of
exploration in Hawaii.
Yes.
Yeah.
The trails of the national parks of Hawaii.
And sometime on Kauai as well. And we are actually back, way back on the East Coast for our next, basically, 2 months of exploration.
Yes.
Yeah. What park are we exploring now, Dusty?
Shenandoah National Park.
Shenandoah
of
National
Virginia.
Park.
Virginia.
Yeah. We recently took a trip to Shenandoah. We had visited before, but we had some time this past fall to really get down to the park and explore a lot more than we were able to when we were there the first time.
Mike, tell us a little bit about Shenandoah National Park.
Well, Shenandoah is a very long national park. It's about 100 miles long, a little bit more than that, but it's only about 12 miles wide at its kind of largest width. An incredibly scenic park. Skyline Drive is a road that basically kind of like is contained within the park. We were on that several times throughout our time in the park, and it gives you an incredible view of so much of the natural splendor of Virginia. The Appalachian Trail actually runs directly through the park. So when you're hiking, oftentimes you can find yourself on the Appalachian Trail, as we did for parts of our hikes, as that would be like the way to then link up with the route that you were trying to get on. The park itself was established in December 26th, 1935. So she's a Capricorn just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that makes some sense there. There are several entrances into the park that can kind of get you onto Skyline Drive. We entered at the Thornton Gap entrance when we like needed to get onto the drive on our second day of hiking. It's really kind of not that far from Washington, D.C. It's about a 2-hour drive at most.
It's about 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going very far into the south end of the park, it's obviously going to be longer. And there are three distinct zones of the park. There's the north region, the central region, and the south region.
And the thing about the way the park is laid out is that it really is very secluded. Like, they don't have a ton of roads riding through the park. They have Skyline Drive, which when you arrive, most people are like, well, drive along Skyline Drive. You're going to see the most amazing views. But coming into the park, there's only just a handful of roads.
Yeah, I think it's like three. We were on like 211 a lot. There are parts of roads that go like into the edges of the park, so you can kind of get to the hiking there at like the I'm going to call it the foothills of the park or the boundaries. But if you really want to get into the park, like Dusty said, it is just a few roads that get you there. We started our trip from New Jersey. We left Kind of late on a Wednesday night from Robbinsville.
Robbinsville.
Where we were able to park a car at a friend's house.
That's right.
Because we're both working girls. We had to leave Wednesday evening and we had a lovely, lovely little drive down to Virginia.
Okay, well, no. Hold on. Let's be real here. Okay. Let's be real about why we had to park the car there.
Yeah.
Was because, so you, as you know, live like an coastal hour, maybe like 55 minutes south of me,
mm-hmm.
right? Mike was driving to Virginia, and he didn't want to drive the hour back to bring me back to my house at the end and then return. I mean, it does add essentially 2 hours
Thank you
of
for
driving
making me the villain of the story.
to the journey, so I understand it. Mm-hmm. So his suggestion was, well, when we're on our way back up, I'll just drop you off at a train station and then you can take a train to a train station near your house and then Uber home. And I was like,
yeah,
not happening. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. Mm-hmm. Also, just drop me off in the middle of
And then you can
nowhere.
Live in squalor and never live have success is basically what you told me.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah. No, that is why we did that. Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. So we parked the I parked my car at our friend's house, mm-hmm. still, which is like honestly right on the border of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So it was easy to do that.
Yeah. And then we just kind of scooted down to Virginia, which wasn't too bad. We were driving to Madison, Virginia, which was where we were doing most of our hiking around. It made the most sense to kind of stay there. It's about a half hour north of Charlottesville, to give you some context for where we were in the state.
And Madisonville has a tiny little strip
Madisonville, just Madison.
Right. Madison has a tiny...
You created a new town.
I did.
Yeah.
It's got a tiny little strip of downtown.
It's cute.
Like, there's some tiny cuteness there, mm-hmm. but it really is like a blip.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you drive by it and that's that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there are people that live there.
Yeah. And it was really very nice. We stayed at a really beautiful Airbnb. This woman that we stayed with had a really well put together house, and we had a beautiful room that we were staying in. She had a lot of very interesting art on the wall, and I'm not saying interesting is bad, but like it was just very varied. There were a lot of horse paintings.
There were a lot of specifically paintings of white horses, mm-hmm.
which I was able to talk to her one morning, and she was
like,
"Oh, yeah,
secrets and lies. You didn't tell me about this.
She was like,
"Oh,
my mother was an artist, and I inherited all of her work." And so it was hanging up. And I really appreciated that.
I do too.
She also had a ton of plants, mm-hmm. so I think we assumed that she was a Libra.
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
I've made assumptions that she's a Libra.
I've made assumptions.
Lover of art and plants. Yeah. So I brought trivia books.
Oh, we didn't touch
them. We didn't
those.
Even touch them the entire time.
We had a lot to talk about.
We had things to talk about. We had music to listen to.
We had American Horror Story to discuss.
American Hoarder Story.
Hoarder.
Hoarder.
American Hoarder Story.
Oh, my God. So that's a golden idea.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
You heard it here first, folks.
American Hoarder Story. I know. Like, you just find a witch living underneath, like, the garbage and the couch.
Yeah.
Like, her coven is, like, there. Anyway. So.
I love this idea.
I love this idea. Yeah. So, we had a lot to talk about. And, like, yeah, we didn't even touch trivia books the whole time.
No, the whole time.
It was great.
That's right.
It was great.
So the next morning after like crashing, because we didn't get down to Virginia until like 11:30, and we both crashed real hard because we'd both been, you know, burning the candle at both ends like we usually do. We got up a little later than we would typically.
This is full shade right now. A little later than we would typically.
It isn't. I was tired too. There's no
shade. Well, we got up at like, what, 7:30?
Yeah. I didn't like force you awake early.
No, you didn't.
No. I was like, we were both tired.
That's right.
There was no shade.
Right. Okay.
And so we ended up getting ready and getting out pretty quickly. And we had to stop and get like food and stuff. We went to the Food Lion or the Kitty City, as someone told us they called it.
Someone on Instagram told us it was called Kitty City.
We don't want to talk about her yet.
Oh,
she's
we're going to save her. We're going to save her for later.
It was located in a shopping plaza. That's all we'll say.
Yeah.
So, we were able to get our food, like breakfast, and then any other sort of provisions we needed, even though I kind of brought a lot of stuff with us.
You did.
And then we headed to the trailhead for the hike we were doing that day, which was what, Dusty?
Old Rag. Now, the Old Rag Trail is like the crowning centerpiece of Shenandoah National Park.
Yeah, it's kind of the most, I would say, one of the most traveled trails in the park.
And if you,
something people do.
It's an 8-mile loop. Mm-hmm. And if you go to Shenandoah, you're probably doing Old Rag.
And you should do Old Rag.
And you should do Old Rag because it's great.
Yeah, when we were leaving the house, the Airbnb host was doing yoga. And she was like, oh, have a great day hiking. What are you hiking? And we said Old Rag. And she's like, oh, perfect. It's, if you go on the weekends, it would be like a zoo.
Right.
So we were bolstered by that fact.
We were.
To feel real good.
So after Kitty City, we ate our breakfast in the car. Of just like, you know, yogurt and cheese and nuts and berries. And then we headed down the road about a half an hour into windy backcountry in order to park at the trailhead. Okay, so we are driving down the road, winding back roads through rolling hills to get to the parking for the Old Rag Trailhead.
Mm-hmm.
We're passing cows, we're passing like hills of farmland and vineyards. There were tons of vineyards around this area of Virginia, you know, that you can visit and taste and whatnot.
Yeah.
As you're driving toward, you know, will suddenly lose cell phone signal.
Yeah, it's not a national park or an area surrounding a national park where a cell phone signal is very much so in abundance. Some national parks, that is the case, where you actually have very crisp service. I feel like I'm having an ad for AT&T or Verizon right now.
Not an official sponsor.
Not an official sponsor.
Could be, though.
Anyway, but so we lost a lot of service here.
We did.
Just something to think about, too.
Right, right, right. And, you know, we've mentioned this before, but, like, know how to read a map.
Yep.
And also, like, it's probably good to have the Atlas with you.
Yeah.
Because, one, you know, GPS on phones is good if you're, you know, like, if you have it up when you have signal, like, it'll stay up.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to see where you are on roads. But, like, if the app's not open and you don't have service, like, you don't have access to any of that. So, that was just a matter of, like, okay, let's just really remember which turns we're taking so that we can get there. So we did, and we finally did get there, which, I mean, it was like, you know, we passed some houses that looked like literally in the foothills of these mountains that were picturesque and exactly as you might imagine them to look.
And some freaking huge mansions, too.
And some Bel Air sized mansions with like automatic gates and like bamboo on either side of the gates.
Yeah.
Well, that was just one of them. But there were quite a number of giant sweeping mansions.
Yeah.
We were later told that was old money Virginia.
Yeah.
So anyway, we make it to the parking lot, and the Old Rag parking lot is, you know, it's like, it's a dirt parking lot. Mm-hmm. It's right there. But there were some signs that said that there was some construction happening for new parking for Old Rag.
Yeah.
We parked and there were some porta-johns right there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a tiny little ranger station.
Yeah.
And, so we knew we were in the right place, but there was a sign that said the trailhead for Old Rag was a mile down this road.
Yeah, like 3/4 of a mile down the road.
So we knew, you know, so in addition to the 8 miles, you did have to go another 3/4 of a mile twice, you know, to leave your car and then get back.
Yeah. So I went to the ranger like booth, because it's not like a full visitor center. It's just like a little outpost. And we had really talked about what we wanted to do, because we have, on our adventures so far in the national parks, really worked off of two national passes, or two interagency national park passes, which are about $80 for the year. And it gets you into any national park for that year's time. And we really had a discussion on the drive on what we wanted to do, because we weren't sure if we wanted to get another interagency pass right now, because we won't really be on the road again until like spring. So we made the decision that we were going to be here for 2 days. We're just going to do, we just bought the week pass for Shenandoah, which is about $30 for a car, which is very typical. I think that's the flat rate in all the national parks, about a $30 flat rate for a car for a week. So we got that, which was just a receipt that you basically leave on your dashboard. And I got the map from the park ranger. And after we were all geared up, we headed on down the road.
It was a little chilly this day, but it wasn't too bad. I remember I bundled up a lot.
Yeah.
Thinking that, you know, I would be colder. But yeah, lots of layers. But we are walking.
I was in shorts, I think.
I know.
It was like 60 that day. But it was cold in the morning.
I was not about having my legs be chilly. Mm. So.
Mm-hmm. You got to keep them gams
I gotta
wrapped
keep
up
them,
tight.
Right. Yeah. Like a dancer. Right.
Like
no,
a dancer.
I was wearing my tights.
Yeah.
One, I brought many tights on this trip, and I wore just a pair of tights.
Yeah.
And that was all just the tights.
I'm all about venting out. I need airflow.
I know you are.
Yeah. It's hot down there.
When we were walking along the road in order to get to the trailhead, you could see the construction for what will be the new parking lot.
Which is gigantic. Yeah,
and there are two sections of it, and I was like, that looks like there's going to be a building there.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if they're going to put a visitor center there. The visitor centers in Shenandoah are really spread out because Shenandoah is so big.
Right. And we went to one on our first trip
at the very northern
part of the park.
And on our first trip, we spoke to a volunteer junior ranger there who gave us some great info. There were lots of signs about like exactly where the money was coming from in order to like fund this parking lot. As we were walking along, we sort of had to veer off to the left, and then the road started to turn into a trail-looking road.
It was still like a paved trail, like on their way up through the woods. And we're hiking at this point when we parked. There were two other people that had parked basically right next to us, and they'd started the trail at the same time. So we talked to them for a bit just about hiking. They'd never been to Shenandoah before, but they lived very close, which this was their first time. And it was like a really nice day. It was like overcast, warm, and there was a threat of rain at some point, which it actually held out for us the whole time we were hiking, which was nice.
So on this paved trail that we were walking here, this was our first interaction with incline.
Yeah.
Which was like, oh, good morning. Yeah. How are you, Incline? It's nice to see you, old friend.
Yeah.
We haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah.
And
she was here for us.
She was here loud and clear.
Yeah.
So the incline wasn't too steep, but it was definitely
incline. Yeah, it was there. Yeah.
It was a nice warm up.
Yeah, for what was to come.
For what was to come.
Yeah.
So we finally do make it to the top of this like landing where there's like a chain.
Yep.
Where it's technically a fire road that you're walking on right then.
Yeah.
And so there's a chain going across. So like, you know.
Anybody could just drive up.
Right, exactly. Looking forward is the fire road continues.
Yeah.
Or you can turn left and start heading up the old rag trail. Which is what we did.
Yeah.
And like right there is where the placard was.
Mm-hmm.
And the placard said it would take about
six to seven and a half hours
to do this trail. You were particularly like, no, well, I don't think that it will take us this long.
Well, I think that we tend to like err on the side of a little quicker most of the time with trails. And I do feel like those placards are set up like they're such good information.
I'm always curious about like exactly who is the audience for those placards. I feel like it's meant to be for everybody.
Yeah.
And that number is trying to give like a general sweeping number to general public.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like if you are someone who's on trails a lot, you might hike a little faster.
Yeah.
However, there are some times where they give us that number and that number is super correct.
Yes, it's true.
So
it's a crapshoot, really.
It is
folks.
A total crapshoot every single time. So we were like, all right, well, we could be here for 4.5 hours. We could be here for 7.5 hours. Who knows?
I think the other thing we thought time-wise after we finished and finished in a different time than the board said, I think a lot of that must account for also traffic on the trail. And how long it takes when it is very crowded. The trail itself does, in a hiking book that we had at the Airbnb, it said it would take about 6 hours. It labels the trail as strenuous, which I would agree with.
Completely.
And it is an elevation change of 2,200 feet.
Right.
So
let's continue down the trail and talk about this elevation gain. And here we are on the first leg of the hike.
Yeah.
Which is essentially from the trailhead all the way to the summit.
Yeah.
Is what we'll call the first leg. And it is incline the entire way.
Mm-hmm.
However, I liked that the incline was, for the most part, gradual.
Yeah.
Like, it was a consistent incline the entire time.
Yeah.
what like kills me sometimes when like we're walking through trails is like when it's like we're going to be a consistent incline and then we're going to get super steep for a long time and now we're just super steep the whole way.
Yeah.
That to me just like, I mean, well, it plays like with my mind. Yeah. It's such a tease.
Yeah.
But this, like a Mount Camerer or like a Mount LeConte, was consistent with this incline for this entire first leg.
Yeah.
So what are some things that we saw on this first leg?
So it was very clearly fall, which hiking in the fall is a pretty magical experience. Last year when we were hiking in Smoky Mountains and this year, it is really just beautiful to see that seasonal change. It was kind of crazy because our days were very similar in like temperature over the last two trips that we did in the fall, where the first day was kind of on the warmer side and then our second day was very cold. So it's with weather, it's always like kind of a crapshoot. It was just a lot of like beautiful trees with like gorgeous like foliage still on them. We were definitely there at the end of the season and it was very clear like one good cold day and like one like heavy rain was going to bring the rest of the leaves down. But we definitely got a lot of beautiful landscape all around us the entire time.
This is from the United States Geological Survey. This is a report that was written by them and published about the geology of Old Rag Mountain. Old Rag Mountain is underlain by a rock called the Old Rag Granite. Old Rag Granite formed just over 1 billion years ago during a mountain building event known to geologists as the Grenville Orogeny. The Grenville Orogeny formed a great mountain range that stretched from Mexico to Canada and was perhaps as high as the Rocky Mountains of the Western United States. Deep within the ancient Grenville mountain range, the pressure and temperature were great enough to melt the rock in places, forming magma. This molten rock slowly ascended through fractures and conduits and eventually crystallized into the rock we now see today at the surface, Old Rag Granite. Although Old Rag Granite is now exposed at the surface of the earth, the rock crystallized several tens of miles below the land surface. We know this because the minerals and textures found in the granite. For example, as you examine the rocks exposed at the crest of Old Rag Mountain, you will notice the large white crystals of minerals called alkali feldspar. The large size of these crystals indicates that they had plenty of time to form in magma that cooled slowly deep below the Earth's surface. In contrast, fine-grained volcanic rocks exposed in narrow conduits called dikes along the crest of the Old Rag Mountain were erupted at or close to the Earth's surface and thus did not have time to form large crystals.
Dusty just gave us a very fascinating glimpse into the geology of the mountain itself, but we weren't really seeing a lot of that like boulder like experience yet. Most of the first leg of the hike is literally like an incline in the woods. We had the entire trail to ourselves. We had, you know, talked to those people at the beginning and then we kind of took off ahead of them and then we were just on an incline through the woods for quite some time before anybody else showed up. You know, as we're starting to get higher and higher into the incline of the mountain, we're starting to see more and more off to our sides and starting to see like more of the surrounding foothills, surrounding mountains of Old Rag. We're getting these beautiful, beautiful glimpses of what the fall is like in Shenandoah.
How long have we been hiking for?
About 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours up Old Rag. We're close to the summit.
Yeah, I don't think we're far at all. I think we're pretty much like 100 feet of altitude to go and not like even a quarter of a mile.
Right, so we're close. The view is now just panorama all around of just like gorgeous, beautiful Shenandoah in the fall.
Yeah, it's kind of rivaling our trip to Smoky Mountains last year. Sans the mist.
It's rivaling. I don't know if it's winning, but it's rivaling. It's in the same game. To use a various sports reference. But yeah.
One of them's going to have to lip sync for their lives.
Well, there we go. Now we're back on the right metaphor.
That's right.
All right. All right. Now we're headed to the summit. And with that, let's take a break. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
It's time for a game. What are we playing today, Dusty?
We're playing One Letter Change. So we played a lot of One Letter Change on this trail. So we're going to play that now.
Yeah.
One Letter Change is where you have two words, but they're only different because of one letter. And you have to give a clue to make the person guess. Okay, are you ready for...
Mm-hmm. I am.
Okay, great. The one I give you is this.
Okay.
When you take a moment to eat grain...
A bread break.
Yes.
Great.
Okay, great.
All right. So mine is the loathsome expression that you would have on your face if you were an unhappy head of state or an unhappy monarch.
A crown frown?
That's right.
Okay, here's another one. It's like an in real time competition log for people who just amass lots of stuff.
Can you repeat that again?
It's like an in real time, like okay. Competition log.
Okay.
That's visible.
Okay.
For people who have a problem amassing tons of things.
Okay. Is one of the words hoarder?
It's one of the words is hoard.
A hoard board?
Yes. Like the leaderboard.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. If you were doling out a soothing cream for sunburn.
Oh, I don't know.
A lot aloe.
A lot
something.
Oh, that was clever. Mm-hmm. And that is One Letter Change.
So at this point, we are starting to see more people on the trail. People have come up behind us at this point who are hiking really fast, and we're also getting into more bouldery sections. We thought we were close to the summit, but in actuality, we were really close to a beautiful bluff that gave us even more of an overlook. So after kind of climbing up through some boulders and large chunky rock, we get to this kind of overlooking bluff that has at least 10 other people at it. And really, for Old Rag, it is a loop, but you basically are going up the one way and then hiking down a fire road. So all of these people had clearly, there were some of the people that had just come up behind us were there, and there were also a group of like older men that had been hiking obviously a lot earlier than us that were at this bluff. But this is, I mean, the view that we had just seen was incredible, but this just blew everything out of the water.
It absolutely blew everything out of the water. It was definitely like a place to like sit and like just take it in because, you know, you would come, you know, done that incline all the way and now you could just like sit and really breathe in for a moment. Because I know that when I'm hiking through trails, like that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for like, I mean, and I guess you could technically do that anywhere, but like to really do that in a place with such a magnificent view is, I think, really special. And so this is definitely one of those spots. There were lots of people hanging around, and there were these two guys hiking together that were really, really cute. I was super awkward around them.
Yeah.
Yes. You know. As were you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But we sat for a good like 10 minutes to kind of take everything in, because a lot of the times like it is, we are hiking so much that we do definitely take the moments to stop and really take everything in on the trail. But like when you're faced with something like this, where it just is such expansive beauty and it's such an incredible overlook, it was nice to take that time there and really get a good glimpse in of everything. After sitting for a little bit, we kind of headed out ahead of everybody else that was there. And one thing that we hadn't mentioned is that the entire trail is marked by blue blazes. So yes. As we get past this bluff, we are really relying on the blue blazes that are on the rock faces, because we are about to head into a section of like pretty fun jungle gym boulders,
exactly.
Which is what I live for on a trail.
Yes, you do.
So I was living my best life here.
This is what we'll call the second leg of this trail, which is the bouldering at the top. This is why people do Old Rag, because the bouldering of these rocks, there's so many of these gigantic boulders that you just have to like scroll your way through in order to get to the summit.
Yeah.
And people come the world over to scramble these boulders. And so that is what we were about to embark on.
As we were going through, sometimes the blazes were directional, so the blaze actually turned into an arrow sometimes it was just that like rectangular marking, so there could be a little confusion. Like there were a few times I think when we were in the section where we had to be like, wait, are we going this way or is it this way? There was a lot of like squeezing through narrow passages. There was some chimneying, which is basically when you're kind of wedged between, it's like a rock climbing term where you're kind of wedged between two rocks and you have to kind of shuffle your way down with your feet and arms extended on both of the rocks. There was definitely a lot of sit and scooting happening too.
There was.
It was a lot.
Most of the time, yes, the blue blazes turned into arrows because you needed to know where to go.
Right.
And so that meant like sometimes you needed to ascend this flat rock face.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it meant you needed to crawl over this rock. Sometimes it meant you needed to literally crawl underneath and between these other two rocks.
Yeah.
Or down this like narrow passageway and chimney your way through a lot of different boulders.
Yeah.
And then another one was, you know, another time it was like, let's
crawl under this dangling rock.
That was crazy. Yeah. That happened a couple of times.
Well, there was a smaller one specific one that was like a staircase that had been carved into the rock, and there is a dangling rock.
And there's
there.
Literally like a giant
wedged,
boulder
yeah.
wedged in between these other two giant boulders, and you just have to walk up and go right underneath.
Yeah.
And there was another hiker behind us, because now we're like in the world of there's like at least 20 to 30 people yeah. around us. And he was like, yeah, one day that rock is just going to fall.
Yeah, which makes sense over time.
Makes sense over
time.
Wind
and water erosion.
But I'm like,
yeah.
I don't want to be here when that happens.
No one wants to be here when that happens. So. Eventually, we kind of like get to a point where you are still like on boulders, but we kind of climb into this area where you're actually ducking through a cave, which was pretty cool. Like there was like you had to, in order to continue on the trail, go through this like kind of L-shaped cave that would take you onward and upward. Unfortunately, here there was a lot of graffiti too.
This really pissed me off.
Yeah.
Again,
like
I'm just going to say
barbecue.
This.
Who cares?
Like, I don't care that you love barbecue, and I don't care that you were there.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't care who you loved at the time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just be a person in the world, love who you love.
Yeah.
I don't need you to write it or carve it onto the side of a rock that didn't ask for that.
And then it kind of turns into a little bit of woodsy again. Like there's more trees at this point. We see a sign for someone had written in the rock, like summit, like, I forget what his name was.
Art. Something.
Yeah.
But he had done the summit in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was like, great.
Yeah,
here's
good
your,
for you. Here's your trophy. Yeah.
Here's your applause break.
But we're continuing to climb up, and then we stumble up across this dad and son, their dog named Ani.
Oh, but it was such a cute dog.
But.
How okay
yeah
and here we are back to this sort of situation, this problematic situation that I find myself in, which is there were so many
signs,
very clear signs at the top of the trail, like this, no dogs, no pets. But yes, this dog was here.
Yeah. And it's also understandable as to why.
I pet that dog.
No, I know
you
did.
Such a great time. So did you.
I know I did. I loved it.
That was such a cute dog.
And at this point where, you know, they're like, you can go ahead of us if you want. Like, the dad was a little older. He's like, I'm hiking a little slow. And I was like, no, you're fine. Like, it's okay. And they're like, okay, we're going this way. And I'm like, okay, there are parts of this trail too, like we were saying with the blazes. Sometimes the blazes disappear for a minute. And so one way could look like a trail and the other way could look like a trail. It's like a fork. And you have to kind of wander a little bit to see where the blaze is. And so they're like, well, we're going to just keep climbing up here. This makes sense. And I was like, oh, there's clearly a path over to our left here.
Yeah, and a blaze over here.
And there was the blaze. So
but
I
that
screamed
was the
up
last
to them.
Time we saw them.
That sounds really dire.
But it is. It was.
No, we got a little further and then we were through that kind of like narrow maze of boulders.
And did we see them again?
We looked back and they were at the top of... They went to like the top of a bigger boulder, which wasn't the summit. After kind of meandering through some bigger boulders after that part... It's not that long and we're basically at the summit.
And the summit is sort of like a wraparound summit.
Yep.
Like you can access many different places to look out from this one like sort of junction.
Yeah.
Like you can just venture out. Now I will say there is like some marked off territory spots right there. And they're like, please don't walk through this because we're doing some plant restoration. Oh my God, please never walk through plant restoration.
Right.
Don't ever do that.
Yeah. Never.
Ever. You can just like sit on boulders and like, you know, just like look out into this gorgeous view and do it from all sides.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
We made it to the top and we're like, we're sitting there and this is when we decided to sit and eat.
Yeah. It was kind of our first eating break.
It was our first eating break. And this was the moment I was like, we should have had peanut butter sandwiches.
Right. There was definitely a lament.
And we didn't have peanut butter sandwiches.
I know. They have become a trail mainstay for us.
They have.
Yeah.
We packed them every time
we
now.
We beefed it on this trail.
We beefed it.
Yeah.
I was like, give me the bar and give me all the trail mix.
Right.
And we basically ate that whole bag. Yeah. But yeah, I was horngry.
Yeah.
Getting hangry.
Yeah.
I really got in touch with my hangry like
you
this
did.
Time.
You did.
I really did. This whole trip.
It was a deep
trip.
Dive for you.
Because it was nice to be able to recognize, like, why am I getting so frustrated? Oh, it is because I'm hungry.
Yeah.
It's good to be able to, like,
Your feelings.
Identify your feelings and where like, they're coming from.
Exactly,
the source
right. of them. We spent a great deal of time up at the summit because it is, like, a very beautiful panoramic view. When we were sitting, it was definitely, like, it was very windy at the top, which makes sense. We... were sitting and there was this guy that was just screaming information
at
somebody.
God. He was on the phone because somehow there was some cell service up at the top and he had misplaced his rain jacket.
He was asking if someone had seen it that was sitting
asking
there.
If somebody had seen it on their way up and they said no. And then he was on the phone with the hotel he stayed at to see if he had... left it there and he was just like screaming his
email address
into the phone.
Yeah.
If you've seen this man's rain jacket, you can let us know because we still know his email address. Yeah.
We didn't see it on the way up.
We definitely had
come up after him.
He was really concerned about it.
Yeah.
It was a moment like that. I was like, listen, I get it. I understand that, you know, replacing a rain jacket, like that could be a huge inconvenience for somebody.
Yeah.
But then there was also the part of me that was like, okay, let's talk about where we can get another rain jacket.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
that's, you know, I'm pretty sure we could like find one, you know, secondhand somewhere or somebody's got an extra one that they can loan you or give to you. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, he was losing his mind over this rain jacket. I mean, poor guy.
Yeah.
But there are other things to get that concerned about that I think we could put our energy into.
As we're sitting at the top of the summit, we also are able to see because, I mean, the foliage at this point is gorgeous to be able to see all the fall colors and all of these different peaks and to get a really intense view of everything around us. But because it's fall, you're also able to see through the trees a decent amount. So we were able to see a road down below. And I was like, I think that might be the fire road because basically once you're at the summit, you're headed back down that fire road that we mentioned at the beginning of our hike. And it was in the distance, so we had a lot of descent to do after this point. You know, after sitting for a little while, we kind of packed up, and then I really wanted to go to all the different jut outs just to see what the different views were like. So we did that.
You did. And yeah. It was in this moment that we, you know, having sat for a few minutes, we like got cold again.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm glad I brought that scarf. Yeah. Right.
Get that body moving.
So yeah, the gloves went back on. The hat went back on.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then we looked at all those jut offs.
Yeah.
And then we sort of set off onto the descent.
Yeah. And the descent wasn't terrible by any means. And with that, let's take another break.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
It's time for Drag Queen Corner.
Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage,
Madison Plaza.
Okay, so Madison Plaza was the name of the
shopping plaza.
The shopping
where
plaza.
The Kitty City was, where Kitty aka Food Lion.
Food Lion.
Yeah.
Kitty City. I mean, she's also a queen.
Yeah.
Madison Plaza and Kitty City are probably a double act.
Yeah.
So when I think of Madison Plaza, well, I immediately think of like the Plaza Hotel.
Right.
So I feel like she's like a very sort of like gorgeous, proper kind of like socialite looking queen. Mm-hmm. Like she looks expensive.
Yeah.
Right?
And she is expensive.
Yeah. Right? To book her costs you a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Madison Plaza only comes
out every
once
in a while.
I do feel
like she, for some reason, I feel like she's stuck in the 90s, though. She's like,
she's got like a 90s socialite.
For some reason,
maybe it's,
like,
I think it's the name Madison.
Yeah.
Madison feels like a name of a girl from a 90s high school movie.
Right, right. And she was an ice cold, like, you know.
Oh, Queen Bee.
Yeah. Mm. I feel like she's like, you know, her nose is up in the air all the time.
Interesting.
She's, you know, very highbrow about everything.
But I feel like she's a comedy queen.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she's very highbrow about very, very specific things.
Mm-hmm.
Like she would be very highbrow about grocery stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know if she and Kitty City would necessarily have
probably not. She would try and distance herself.
It would just
from
be animosity.
Right. Also, what a great queen. Animosity. I know.
Adding
they're just all
list.
Coming
That's
out
right.
today.
That's right.
But yeah, no, I feel like Madison Plaza has a really high bouffant hair.
Uh-huh.
And everything is just, she looks like perfection.
Uh-huh. I feel like for some reason, especially because she's a 90s queen, I feel like Vogue is the song for her.
Oh, okay.
I just feel that. I feel like she embodies that in some ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I also sort of...
Do you have feelings on the song?
I feel... Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like that could work.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a bit like... I mean,
on
I feel
news.
Like every drag queen
yeah.
could...
Sure,
could
you could all...
to Vogue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, no, I
Is
feel like
Material
she...
Girl? I feel like she's Madonna-y.
Madonna, yeah. Maybe but some more on early time. Kylie.
Okay.
Minogue.
Uh huh.
Maybe
like Locomotion. Maybe that. Is that what you're thinking?
I'm thinking that. Or you know what? This is what I could see her doing.
Okay.
This is 80s, but whatever. Now we're mixing genre. Don't care. Is I could see her doing Lost in Your Eyes by Debbie Gibson.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Debbie Gibson to me is just like quintessential, mm-hmm. like late 80s
okay.
high school girl sound.
Uh huh.
And so, yeah.
Now that anyway. You said that, I feel like she could do Betty Davis Eyes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just mm-hmm. like, now we're riffing on this.
Now we're riffing
all the
on
songs.
It.
Yeah.
Okay. I like
yeah,
that. Though.
I like her too. Yeah. And I like what she's got going on.
So, yeah, ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage
Madison
Plaza.
So we are probably about 20 minutes past the summit of Old Rag right now. We're on the trail to the fire road, which is going to take us back down to the parking lot.
And it's beautiful fall woods. At night, I bet it would be really creepy.
Yeah, I would imagine that it would be very, very creepy. We're at this cabin right now.
It's a stone cabin, and it's called Bird's Nest.
And it's got like a very old, like... English sign that has like a raven on it.
Yeah, and yeah. Bird is spelled with a Y.
It is.
We should figure out what that means.
We should.
So the Bird's Nest is a shelter, and it was barred, so you couldn't get in at this point in time.
But there was like a picnic table yeah. in a covered area. Yep. So if you needed to seek refuge, yeah. you could.
And that really wasn't that far after leaving the summit that we hit that, after a little bit of minor descent. After leaving the Bird's Nest, it was a little bit more descent. Like, we took a look at the map at the summit, and it was clear that, like, before we hit the fire road, we had this little bit of section of the trail to kind of get to.
And the majority of the descent that, you know, all the decline we were going to have to
yeah,
do
was in that
was
section.
In that yeah. tiny section.
We knew that, like, once we hit, there was going to be, like, another shelter and bathrooms that we were going to hit, and then basically we were at the point where we would be starting on the fire road, which after a little bit more descent, we kind of quickly got to. It really wasn't that long before we hit the fire road.
It was a really beautiful walk doing that descent because yeah. it was fast. Like yeah. we ended up descending really quickly. Mm-hmm. And I remember when we were walking, I was like, oh my God, like, hello. Like, we are descending quickly.
Yeah.
I think that was when the hiking poles came out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finally, we definitely brought them out then.
Yeah.
Because I'd forgotten to bring mine and yeah. you brought yours.
And I just had them in my bag, which yes. was actually very, very helpful for
and
us.
So. Here. I was really glad we had those on our way down.
And we even used them on the fire road too, even though for the most part it was like a kiddie coaster.
It was one of
our favorite queens.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a very like windy, undulating sort of path that was another sort of beautiful walk in the woods, different from the start. I mean, the fact
this
that it was
the fire road
was like, mm-hmm. you know, it didn't feel like a fire road. It just felt like a really beautiful walk in the woods. And we're right next to a river. So we get all of that beautiful, like natural water sound flowing over things as we're walking through these just like leaf trodden paths. And the fire road was just a great way to kind of wrap up the trail. Like, I thought it was such a nice way to just kind of like cool down after all that exertion.
Such a perfect cool down.
Yeah.
It was flat. I mean, by flat I mean the surface was flat.
Yeah.
But we were still declining
yeah.
on it, which was also nice.
But that was super gradual.
Super gradual.
Yeah.
And as we were walking, yeah, it was lovely having the river right there. And like, you know, it was nice to just like, after a long experience hiking upwards and then bouldering, it was nice to have a nice cool down for our legs and our feet.
Yeah.
At the end of the fire road, there are a couple of bridges.
Mm-hmm. Like metal bridges that the fire road basically crosses some streams, so you don't have to do that on foot. the park system has provided these narrow metal bridges for you to cross. And there's a series of three before you kind of are back at the start of the trailhead. And, you know, we knew that when we had started, we saw one of the metal bridges. I didn't realize that there was a system of three there because the other ones are kind of around a bend.
Yeah, there was one that you could see from the trailhead.
Yeah. But we were like, okay, we're very close. And then very close ended up being, oh, we're very done. And it was like a great way to like end and come back to that trailhead and come full circle. And it was just such a beautiful hike. Old Rag is, I think, of all the hikes we did, even though they were all awesome, like Shenandoah, talk about Utah.
Shenandoah, who knew?
I mean, people know, but
Old Rag is definitely like a
trail.
You gotta
do Old Rag.
That I would be like if you were like, hey, let's just like drive down to Shenandoah for the day and do Old Rag, I'd be like, yes.
And that's kind of a thing too. It's like for us, and for, you know, kind of anyone in the Mid-Atlantic region, Shenandoah is pretty accessible, which we talked about, like, even if we wanted to go down for a night, like, get up super early one day and drive down to Shenandoah, hike the day, go to bed, get up and hike super early and then dip out and come home. It's a doable thing, which
is really, really nice.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's nice to have that so nearby.
Yeah.
So we have completed the Old Rag Trail. We just walked down the fire road, crossed three bridges, and we are back to the trailhead.
And that was one of the most fun.
Yeah, it was a really good time. And it only took us about 5 hours from car to car, basically. I mean, we're assuming we'll get back to the car in the time that we need to make our 5 hour mark. But
yeah,
it was, you know, and we stopped a lot. We had some great, incredible views.
The right now we're looking at a ton of so everything is fall and you can hear the leaves crunching here, but there are these look like little tiny baby pine trees all over the place that are just so green, and they're sort of piercing right through all of the fall colors.
So Old Rag Trail, as we were told by our signboard and some guidebooks, would take us between 6 and 7.5 hours. It's a 2,200 foot elevation difference throughout the trail. The mountain itself, the elevation is at 3,291 feet. The trail itself is 9.4 miles. It's a loop. I would imagine that includes that 3/4 of the mile walk from the parking lot there, which will probably be shortened when this new parking lot opens. The trail for us with breaks took us 5 hours. We started at about 9:30 and we finished at about 2:30. And I really do think a lot of that is probably because of time when it's very crowded. I bet you that timing on that board really says that, because it's such a crowded hike because it's so popular.
Especially on the boulders, I would imagine you have to go real slow if there are a ton of people around.
Yeah.
So let's put her on the Karen Stone scale.
Great.
Okay. I'm going to say a 7.
I'm going to say a 6.
Okay.
I thought it was strenuous, but I think we've done things that were a little bit more strenuous. Like, I feel like for me, Yosemite Falls is like the thing that pops out in my mind. Like,
well, that is the like, 10, you know, 10 out of 10.
10 out
10s
of 10.
Across the board.
20s. But I feel like this was such a fun hike for me. There was a lot of exertion that needed to, you know, that happened, that we had to like put out a lot of energy for it. But for me, the top was so much fun.
It was fun. I'm giving it a, the 6 points is just for the incline at the top.
Uh-huh.
And then the additional point for me is like, had I not gone to the indoor gym and like done bouldering at the beginning of this friendship, there's no way that I would have been able to do that at the top.
Yeah. I mean,
or
I
like
think
have
you done
any kind of like real solid, safe approach to how to do those things.
But people do it all the time that I'm sure haven't rock climbed, but I get where you're coming from.
That's the only reason I'm sticking with 7.
So she's a 13 out of 20 on the
she's
Karen
a 13
Stone scale.
Out of 20. And now let's play some Jeopardy. Mike, what is your category today?
My category is called Rags to Riches in honor of Old Rag. I'm doing a little bit of a wordplay here.
Is this an entire category just on the musical Annie?
It is. I'm going to sing and hum a bar of music and you have to identify it. Wow. You're going to be good. No, it's actually, I'm playing on the word rag. So a rag is also known in slang as like a gossipy newspaper. So this category is all about famous lawsuits by celebrities against like National Enquirer type magazines.
Oh, okay, great.
So yeah, I did a weird like curveball on this.
Okay,
one.
Great. I like that.
Okay, rags to riches for 100. This is by far the splashiest settlement to come out of a tabloid legal drama in a long while. The defendant, an Australian native, sued Bowers Media, Woman's Day, and Australia Woman's Weekly after they baselessly claimed that she was a liar and a swindler who changed aspects of her character, name, upbringing, and age, to name a few, in order to appear more appealing to Hollywood. All said and done, she walked away with $4.5 million, the largest defamation in Australian history, in this very recent legal win.
Oh my God. Australia, was this Nicole Kidman?
It's not Nicole Kidman.
Was it, I'm going to keep guessing, Margot Robbie?
No.
Was it
someone you might not think is Australian, but is. This was like super recent.
Cate Blanchett?
No, it's Rebel Wilson.
I was thinking Rebel Wilson. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
Okay.
Good for her.
Good for her. Rags to riches for 200.
Okay.
Praise Xenu that this third wife was able to get her day in court when Star Magazine claimed that she was addicted to drugs. While most people who are Scientologists may be addicted to something, it's mostly getting clear. In fact, what she was using in a photo that spurred the claim by Star was an e-meter, which is something used in Scientology. And when all of the Thetans gathered to help her, or whatever, she was awarded substantial damages, which were all donated to charity. And since she's left Scientology, her charity of choice is no longer C Corp Futures.
Okay. So this is someone who was in Scientology. Mm-hmm.
Who was a third wife.
Who's a third wife?
Mm-hmm. Of someone who is a Scientology famous person.
Is it Katie Holmes?
It is Katie Holmes. Mm-hmm. Praise Xenu.
Yes. Nicole Kidman was second wife.
Second. Minnie Driver.
Wrong.
No.
Minnie Driver was not his first wife. They've never been married. It's a different actress, and I can't remember her name right now. But no, it's not Minnie Driver.
Okay. Minnie Van Driver?
Minnie Van Driver.
All right. Rags to riches for 300. This then power couple sued the National Enquirer after claiming that they were caught up in a heroin ring. And with this husband's sometimes gaunt looks and the fact that he posed with the fan who was charged with possession meant that the story took on a life of its own. Clearly, love does cost a thing because the two sued the publication for six figures. We're looking for a couple.
Okay, is this J-Lo?
Mm-hmm.
And then Mark Anthony?
That's right.
Wow.
Correct.
Right.
Rags to riches for 400. This funny lady won a big legal victory against tabloids and using the First Amendment as a shield when she sued the National Enquirer in 1976 after they claimed that she was drunk, loud, and belligerent when she met Henry Kissinger. Clearly, the National Enquirer was channeling her future role as an off-putting matron in charge of many youths in a classic musical turned movie.
Is this Carol Burnett?
It is Carol Burnett.
Great.
Great.
Well-constructed clues.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Rags to riches for 500. This country musician and husband of famous 90s Just a Girl rocker sued In Touch Weekly after they reported him having a drinking problem, which included libelous statements like he drinks before noon, drinking destroyed his first marriage, and that he urinates in public. While the story claimed he hit rock bottom, it was more like he came out on top tomato here.
Is this Blake Shelton?
It is, correct. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's very interesting to me because originally I had the clues in a reverse order, as that one being number one. And it's funny that number one and two, which I thought were easier, were the ones that stumped you a little
bit.
Yeah,
they were.
Yeah.
They were.
So that's rags to riches.
Great.
Great.
My category is called Virginia is for Movie Lovers.
Great. I almost did a category that was based off of this.
Well, this is not a category about movies that take place in Virginia.
Okay.
This is about movies that, technically speaking, have shots of the movie filmed in Virginia.
Okay.
So you just have to guess the film.
Great.
Okay, so Virginia is for movie lovers for 100. While this iconic 80s classic takes place in the Catskills of New York, it was actually filmed between Asheville and Pembroke, Virginia, which makes sense given that no one puts Baby in a Corner.
What is Dirty Dancing?
Correct. 200. While this early 90s thriller saw a central character in Jodie Foster trying to forget her West Virginia roots, it was mostly shot in Pennsylvania. A few shots of the FBI Academy, however, makes it so that part of this movie was technically shot in Quantico, Virginia.
What is The Silence of the Lambs?
Yes. I literally I have here make this sound at the end.
And a nice Chianti.
Okay, great. 300.
Yep.
While this Nicole Kidman Civil War film takes place in North Carolina, the majority of the outdoor scenes were shot in the Carpathian Mountains in Romania, except for a handful of scenes that were shot in Richmond and Williamsburg, Virginia. Regardless, they got Renee Zellweger the Oscar she should have won for Chicago the year before.
What is Cold Mountain?
Correct. 400. While this film about a female Navy SEAL was shot in California, Florida, and also Richmond, its most iconic scene involves Demi Moore, a sink, a mirror, and a hair trimmer.
What is Charlie's Angels Full Throttle?
Correct.
I know it's not. It's G.I. Jane.
It's G.I. Jane.
But I love Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
Great.
Yeah.
500. Wareneck and Gloucester, Virginia appear in this futuristic Tom Cruise thriller that was gently inspired by Shakespeare's Macbeth.
What is Minority Report?
Yes, nailed it.
Also a movie I like, even though, you know.
I know.
Praise Zinu.
Oh, Lord. This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by Michael Ryan.
This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to see more about Shenandoah National Park and other national parks spoken about on this podcast, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com.
All original music was written by Dave Seaman and performed by Dave Seaman, Mariella Klinger, and Sean Sklios. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would like to acknowledge that while hiking in the Shenandoah National Park, we were hiking on the traditional lands of the Manahoic and Monacan tribes. Stay tuned for more episodes about Shenandoah National Park here at Gaze at the National Parks.